All right, so we are starting by Ikra, Leviticus, chapter 1. Everybody there? Okay, so one thing we cannot do is we cannot start this thinking this is like a whole new book, starting a whole new theme. Right, this is going to pick off where we left off. And who remembers where we left off? What did we read last Torah portion?
They couldn't enter.
Who's they and what couldn't they enter? Why couldn't he enter the tabernacle?
His glory was too heavy.
Are you sure? That's the only reason? Because they're going to be able to enter later on. So what's the difference between later on and right now? Anybody? Nobody wants to take a shot at it? Why can they enter later on, but how come they can't enter now?
I thought it was Nahab and Abihu, but it's that, wasn't it?
Oh, they were in there. Nadab and Abihu. Why come Nadab and Abihu and Moses and Aaron?
Were they the ones that brought that foreign fire?
Uh-huh. How come they were able to enter, but right now Moses can't?
Because we're all part of the same gang. Somebody messed up. They're not...
Oh, you guys, we talked about this like 10 years in a row. Okay, so.
Have you been doing this 10 years now here?
Longer than that. I've been doing it longer than
Randy
that.
Randy and them have been gone more than 10 years?
Oh, yeah. We've been here.
Because I know we quit. No.
We've been in this room.
5 years.
5 years.
And then in Southwest, how long were we in there?
Then we were at Carmi's house for like 2 years.
Oh, that's right, huh?
Then we were at Carmi's. Southwest for like three.
And they
three,
cut it off at 4 years? That virus they called.
It's been a long time. So when did they set up the tabernacle? I gave you a specific day of when they set that tabernacle up.
They finished on Passover.
No.
First day of the year.
Yeah. No, not on Passover.
It wasn't?
No.
It was the first day, the first of the year, right?
And Passover is on the what day of the year?
Oh, I don't know.
So it was a couple weeks before that, right? So it was the first month in the second year on the first day of the month, right? Right? So it was the first month... First day.
Look at this.
Second year.
Yeah, so that's still Passover coming over again, right?
No, hold on.
Okay, then what?
This is when it was erected. Okay?
Yeah. Where's your recording? You got your recording?
Yeah, it's recording. Why?
Just checking.
Why are you checking if I'm going to record?
Can you verify later?
I don't check it.
Alright. So then if you go to Numbers, chapter 1, when does Numbers chapter 1 say that it starts? You remember? It was on the first day of the second month in the second year.
Second month?
Yeah, so Numbers begins in the second month, first day, second month, right? First day, second month, second year, This is when numbers begin. So, what's your timeline for Leviticus? Well, we're about to read Leviticus. What's the time span that goes through here?
Bless you.
That's a month later, right? A year back.
So everything you're going to read in Leviticus happens in 1 month. Leviticus is the span of 1 month. And then the book of Numbers?
It's one day.
40 years, right?
Goes through 40 years.
And Deuteronomy is one day.
Correct. Okay, so.
One day.
Yeah. Exodus, the book of Exodus went how long? It took you through at least 80 years.
So we're supposed to be writing this down?
Huh?
Should we write this down?
Well, if you want to have the timeline down, I'm just letting you know that what you're about to read here in Leviticus is 1 month. From the end of Exodus to the beginning of Numbers, everything in between is 1 month, okay? So, you guys ready? Anybody? Y'all ready? Here we go. Yahweh called to Moses and spoke to him out of the tent of meeting, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, if any Adam of you brings a korban to Yahweh, you will bring your korban of the cattle, of the herd, and of the flock." Okay. Does everybody read the same as mine does?
A korban, yeah, offering.
Yeah, korban. Anybody know where korban is used in your New Testament? On the top of your head? No? You guys know that it's used in your New Testament?
I'm sure.
You're sure?
Because it all reflects the Old Testament.
That's it. Oh, that's not going to help me. So Mark 7:11. Just found it. Mark 7:11. Do you remember what Mark 7:11 is about?
No, I don't have it here anymore.
Oh, you don't have it here?
No, this is all just.
All right, well, let me read it to you. Okay, so Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 6, very long, by the way. Okay, so it goes a little something like this.
What?
Mark chapter 7.
7:11.
Okay. Thank you.
So before, I'm going to start at 8, but verses 1 through 7 is where the Pharisees get mad because they're not washing their hands. And Yeshua is like, there's not a commandment to wash your hands before you eat. Right?
Right.
So he says,
it should be.
Well, it's not a commandment. And then he doubles back on them and says, you know, Isaiah said, "You are a people that honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far away from me. In vain you worship me when you teach the instruction, you teach the people the commandments of men and not the commandments of God." Right? So you have canceled the commandment of God when you're holding the tradition of men. And he was saying to them, you are just rejecting the commandment of God so you can establish your own tradition. Because Moses said, honor your father and your mother. The one who speaks evil of his father or his mother surely dies. But you people are saying, if a man would say to his father or his mother, korban, which is a gift to God. Look at that, korban. There it is. Isn't that interesting that most of our Bibles don't translate that there? but it translates it all back here as offering. But here it just keeps it as korban, which is gift to God. Whenever you receive from me, and you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or his mother. So basically, Yeshua is getting mad at the Pharisees because anything they're doing for their parents, they're saying it's a gift to God. And you're like, no, they're your mom and dad. It's just the right thing to do. You can't call that a deed for God, is what he's telling them. Because they're trying to make themselves seem more holy because they're doing everything for God. So anyway, but all that to say is they left the word korban there. So it's just a gift, right? It's a gift to God. So whenever you hear me say the ascension gift or the fellowship gift, it's because it's the word korban, and it just means a gift to God.
It's okay? An offering.
Well, that's what your Bible will call it, an offering. But it doesn't, I think it takes, it makes it sound more archaic as an offering or a sacrifice, which sacrifice is only in the book of Leviticus one time, Zebach. And there's no sacrifices in Leviticus. There's no such thing as sacrifice in there. It's an English wrong translation. The word is korban, which means gift to God. Okay? So, and we went over this years and years, for like the last several years, so you guys should know that, hopefully. Have it in your notes. But, verse 3. You ready? So, in his gift to God, is the ascension gift of the herd. So if his gift is an ascension gift of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He will offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tent of meeting before Yahweh. And he will put his hand on the head of the ascension gift, and it will be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And he will kill the bull before Yahweh. The priest, Aaron's sons, will bring the blood and sprinkle the blood all around on the altar that is by the door of the tent of meeting. And he will flay the ascension gift and cut it into its pieces. And the sons of Aaron, the priest, will put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order on the fire. And the priests, Aaron's sons, will lay the parts, the head and the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is on the altar. But its innards, its legs, will be washed in water, and the priest will burn all in the altar. It will be an ascension gift. A gift made by fire of a sweet savor to Yahweh.
So this is the draw near offering. This is what this is.
Yeah, so it's the ascension one. You want to come near, right?
Yeah.
So, number one is you're going to have the ascension gift. Okay. You want to come near to God. And what's the whole reason of this? What's the point of this? Yeah, you want to come near to God, right?
Yeah.
You want to approach his throne.
The most important one, I think.
Yeah. This is the first one that he mentions. Right? And has anyone in your Bible done this yet?
Yes.
Yeah, several times. You've read of people like Noah. This is the one that Noah did where God's like, oh man, that's so good. I will never destroy the world again. It was an ascension gift, right?
Right.
Abraham did one. Jacob did one.
Cain and Abel?
Isaac. Well, it doesn't tell us what gift those ones give. But for the other ones, it specifically tells us they've already given this. They've already known what it is. So this isn't something new. He's not introducing something new to them, right? He's just giving a little bit more detail on how he wants it done. If that makes sense to you. And this altar is always going to be burning. It's always going to be a continual fire there, right?
Okay, so it talks about it. It says we're going to throw the blood on the altar around, which is at the entrance of the tent. So is that the entrance for the holy place or the holy of holy place?
The holy place.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that blood is basically just it's a signal saying that's who I am now. Right? Because the innocent animal had to die too. Even the innocent animal had to die, and that blood, which is alive, so even though the animal died, it's still not dead, because the blood is alive. Life is in the blood. So that blood goes, and because of that innocent blood and that new life, they could approach. Right? It's by the blood. So they come in. So yeah, so that's the ascension gift, and it's all because... Oh, and are they commanded to do this?
No.
Did you notice it said that it will be of his own will? It would be voluntary. This is something. Yeah. This is something someone desires to do, right? This has nothing to do with them sinning, has nothing to do with anyone doing anything wrong. It has everything to do with somebody says, I want to go hang out with my Lord. I want to go hang out with my King. Okay? Any other questions on that so far?
Nope.
Nope. Okay, so, verse 10. So, if his offering or his gift is from the flocks of the sheep or of the goats, for an ascension gift, he will bring a male without blemish. He will kill it on the north side of the altar before Yahweh, and the priest, Aaron's sons, will sprinkle its blood all around upon the altar. He will cut it into pieces with its head and its fat, and the priest will lay them in order on the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. But he will wash the innards and the legs with water, and the priest will bring it all and burn it upon the altar. It is an ascension gift. It's a gift made by fire, a sweet savor to Yahweh. Okay, so what's the difference in this paragraph compared to the first paragraph?
This one came from the flock. It's pretty much the same. It's a sheep, but the first one was...
From the herd, right?
Yeah, from the herd.
So it's probably going to be like a bull, right? And this one is talking about goats or sheep.
Yeah, so this is a smaller animal.
Yep. So it's the same gift, but a little bit different on depending on what your gift is. Laughing at that guy.
So do you think it's affordability?
Yeah, for sure.
That's what it is, right?
Yeah. Yep. So anybody can bring an ascension gift, but it doesn't have to be a bull. It can be something a little bit less value because not everybody can afford to bring a bull, right? So yeah. So we're gonna learn through these offerings that Yahweh is very mindful of people's status, and he doesn't care about their status. What he cares about, are they able to come and see him?
The heart.
Yes. So that's a very good observation, sister. All right, verse 14. So, if the ascension gift for his gift to Yahweh is of the fowls, which is the birds, right? Then he will bring his gift of turtle doves or young pigeons, and the priest will bring it to the altar, wring off its head, and burn it on the altar. And his blood will be wrung out the side of the altar. He will pluck its crop with his feathers, cast it beside the altar on the east part by the place of the ashes. And he will split it with its wings, not dividing it in parts. And the priest will burn it upon the altar, upon the wood that's on the fire. For it's an ascension gift, a gift made by fire, a sweet savor to Yahweh. Okay, so we're going to have this ascension gift. And it's basically going to be broken down into three things. It's going to be of the herd, mm-hmm. or of the flock,
right.
Or of the fowls. Right? So that's how that's going to be broken down into those three. And Miss Viola thinks it has to do with monetary.
Yes.
Right? Monetary status. Financial status, I guess. Right, so the same gift, but depending on what you can afford, is what you got.
That's him.
Thank you. Okay, and that's the ascension gift, and this is the one that triggered, the one that stands out to me the most is with Noah, right when he got off the boat. This is the first thing that he did. And this is the one that caused Yahweh to say, wow, I love that so much, I will never destroy the world again. And it was this ascension gift, right? Which in your Bible calls it a burnt offering. All right, so that's chapter 1. Anyone have any questions on chapter 1 or the ascension gift thus far?
That's quick. That was a quick chapter.
Yeah, it's pretty quick. It's just the author is not giving us anything that we don't know yet. All of these offerings are already there. We've already seen people do them. He's just basically going to lay out the remedy of how to get into the tabernacle. Right? Because when Yahweh on the mountain told us to build the tabernacle, it was all good until Moses came down and he saw all the evil that they were doing with the golden calf. Right? And with their bodies. So now they can't enter. So now there has to be a remedy, is how do we get them in there? Right? And it's going to be through Leviticus. This is a call on how to enter into his house. Who can enter the house of the Lord? Who could ascend his holy hill? The answer is only those who listen to Leviticus. If you don't listen to Leviticus, if you don't listen to Vayikra, you're not going to be able to enter the way Moses can't enter right now.
So this is the center of the Torah.
Yeah, this is the center. This is the call to holiness.
This is the instructions as how to draw in.
Yep. Yeah. So one thing you will not hear me do is call almost anything here a sacrifice. You hear that a lot in a Christian church. Oh, these are sacrifices, right? You won't hear that in the Hebrew here. The Hebrew word for sacrifice is zabach, Z-A-B-A-C-H, and you won't find that in yours. You might find it one time, but most of the time you're going to hear korban, which is not sacrifice, it's a gift, okay? So just FYI on that.
How do you spell it?
Spell, what's it? Korban? K-O-R-B-A-N.
No, Zabach.
Z-A-B-A-C-H. That's just a transliteration. You're welcome. What you can say, Viola?
So the only one that you're saying is
Zabach?
Zabach is the one where you accidentally sinned?
No. What I'm saying is Zabach is the Hebrew word for sacrifice.
Yeah.
Okay. That word is found in Leviticus one time. The word that you're going to hear most often is korban, which is a gift. You're going to find that like 1,000 times. I don't know the exact number, but you're going to find this the most. That's the word that's going to be used the most. Okay? That's what I'm trying to make that point. That what we're reading is not about sacrifices. What we're reading is about gifts to God. We're reading about giving a gift to God.
So why is this Zabach? For what particular thing was that Zabach be?
I don't know.
Are we going to find out? We're going to wait on it? We're getting ahead?
No, I don't really.
Because if it's only found once, why? And for what?
Back. Let's see if this helps.
So it's not considered an offering?
Okay, I'm sorry, I am mistaken. It's found twice in Leviticus.
It's still very few, so we want.
It's in Leviticus 7:11. Which we won't be there today. That'll be next week. We'll be in that one.
Okay.
And in 19-6.
19 what?
Six.
Homework.
That's it, yeah.
Because
two times. Twice. According to this AI thing, twice. But I think I'm right. I think it's really only once. But, because AI is not always right. Yes, like I said, 7-11 and then 19-6.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. So there you go. That's how many times the Zavak is used. And it's probably used in a different form. It's probably used one as like as a verb and one like as a noun, which can change some of the context. Right. So okay. All right. You guys ready for chapter 2? Huh? You can use his energy.
So can Hannah.
Well, as long as it's positive. Sometimes it's not always positive, and then that gets kind of difficult.
So. I know. That would be rough. And they're usually hungry or tired or sick. That's why they do that.
But when they're tired, that's the we got two. No, just one when they're tired. Maybe two when they're tired. It's difficult.
Oh, I know.
19-6.
Not how that. Or we just say, okay, separate them safe.
Asaph's the easiest one. Because when he's tired, he just goes to bed.
That would be Deborah.
When he's tired, he's already in bed. He's gone.
That's good.
Alright, you guys ready? Chapter 2? But that guy's probably the toughest one over there that we've ever had. Alright, you ready? Chapter 2? So when anyone will offer a micha, which yours will say grain or meal, right? The Hebrew is micha, gift to Yahweh. His gift will be fine flour, and he will pour oil on it and put frankincense on it, and he will bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, and he will take out his handful of flour and of its oil, to all of its frankincense, and the priests will burn the memorial of it upon the altar to be a gift made by fire, a sweet savor to Yahweh. The remainder of the gift will be Aaron's and his sons. It is the thing that is most holy of the gifts of Yahweh made by fire. Okay, so what are we talking about here?
Grain offering, but it's most holy.
So yours says a grain offering.
Well, I'm sorry, it's meal, but they do talk about fine flour.
Okay, yours says meal offering.
Yes.
Hannah, what does yours say? Call it a meal or call it a grain?
Meal.
You didn't even have your Bible open, dude. So this is our mincha, right? The Hebrew for this is mincha.
The whole time it talks about grain, right?
Well,
yes.
Flour or grain is what some of y'all call it, or meal.
What is grain?
Depending on your Bible, it'll say a meal, it'll say flour, or it'll say grain. Depending on what translation you have. So I think some of them are just safe and they just put like meal. Okay, and what is this about?
It's another draw close.
Yeah.
It's a burnt offering.
Yeah, did anyone do anything wrong in the first one? Did it say, if someone does anything wrong, they must do this? No? Go ahead.
But they also, the priests get it to share on that one.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like the ascension gift, it didn't say anyone did anything wrong, right?
No.
If somebody murders somebody, somebody steals, if somebody... No, right? It had everything to do with if someone had a heart and they want to voluntarily bring the gift. Right? Does this one say if anyone does anything wrong, this is what they must do? No, it has nothing to do with anyone doing anything wrong. It has nothing to do with anyone sinning, with no one being perfect, or anything like that, right? It's just whoever wants to approach and bring this this gift. It's called the gift, right? Mm. Okay.
It's just another korban.
It's another korban, yep. Just a gift. So, verse 4. And if you bring a gift of, or the meal gift, baked in an oven, it will be unleavened cakes, fine flour mixed with oil, or unleavened wafers anointed with oil. If your gift is a meal gift baked in a pan, it will be unleavened, fine flour mixed with oil. You will break it in pieces and pour oil on it, for it's a meal gift. If your gift is of a grain gift, baked in a saucepan, it will be a fine flour of oil. You will bring the meal gift that is made of these things to Yahweh when it was presented to the priest, and he will bring it to the altar. And the priest will take from the meal gift a memorial serving of it and will burn it upon the altar. It's a gift made by fire, a sweet savor to Yahweh. And that which is left of the meal gift will be Aaron's and his sons. It's a thing most holy, of the gifts of Yahweh made by fire. No meal gift that you bring to Yahweh will be made with leaven, for you will burn no leaven or any honey in a gift of Yahweh made by fire. As for the gift of the first fruits, you will offer them to Yahweh, but they will not be burned on the altar for a sweet savor. And you will season with salt every gift of your meal gift. Neither will you permit the salt of the covenant of your God to be lacking from your meal gift. With all your gifts, you will offer salt. Okay, so if you're going to bring flour, right, and bake it, however, Yahweh wants salt on it. No honey, no yeast or leaven, but salt. Okay? So why are we doing flour now?
It's a, another draw near.
Right? So this is, it's like a random meal gift, right? So this minka, is, to me, it's almost like if you can't afford, right, a bull or a sheep or a goat or a bird, well, guess what? Now you can just bring some flour and approach. That's how I'm reading this, right? Because remember, there's no chapters and verses in the original Bible. In the original writings, there's no chapters and verses. So when people read this, they didn't read it as chapter one, and now we're in a whole other chapter. They just read it as a bull, the flock, the fowl, the flower. So if you couldn't afford the birds, then you can probably bring some flour. Does that make sense? So.
So your thing says mentioned 14 times. Is there a significance to that or no?
What's mentioned 14 times?
Well, mine says grain. Whatever.
What are you talking about?
Nothing.
Explain yourself.
No.
Help me out.
Just everything that you read, when it talks about the offering.
Okay.
It mentions it 14 times. Is there a significance to...
Well, I don't know because I'm not done reading about it yet.
Oh.
So there's going to be more times.
Okay. Well, altogether it's 14.
Like you read ahead? Is that what you're telling me? And
no,
counted
like
them?
Mine are highlighted. So it's 14 green grains. Like 14 grains.
And then like you highlighted it or I highlighted it for you?
I did.
Okay.
So I don't know if there was a significance.
Through the entire chapter? Or
for all of two.
Okay, so you're jumping ahead on me is what you're telling me.
No, because you're currently reading it.
I'm not finished with it, though.
Was there a significance to how how often it is mentioned.
You know, I've never counted it.
I think you must have, because I don't think I would know to circle anything unless you pointed something out sometime.
No, I would have had it marked in mine if I would have.
Because in, not to jump ahead, but in 3, then there's peace highlighted. But I wouldn't know to do that unless you pointed something out sometime. I didn't, normally I'll write why. And that's why I was just asking so that I can know for next time why the grain is highlighted.
I've never counted how many times they were.
So then, as of right now, no.
No. Not that I know of. I mean, there probably is, but not that I am aware of. So I thought you were going to enlighten us.
No, I'm pretty sure at some point you said something and I was like, oh. So to make it easier for myself. But normally when I do that, I'll put the reason why.
Yeah, I was going to say you should have wrote notes.
Yeah.
Thank you for giving me credit, but I don't think that was me.
Because well, I wouldn't know to do that on my own. So yeah, no, maybe it's just the difference between the grain, the peace, and the sin?
The grain, the peace, and the what?
Sin. Because here I have green, the grain, I have it highlighted green 14 times. And then in 3, I have the peace highlighted. And then in 4, sin. But like all different colors to kind of like differentiate between them. So I'm sure somewhere along the years, you pointed something out, which would have made me... Because there's like a lot of highlight in here that I don't normally do on my own. I usually write notes. But if I do something like that, it's because you'll say, do you guys know how many times blah, 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 or...
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Okay.
All right.
We'll see you when you're done.
Okay. All right, so verse 14. So if... you offer a meal gift of your first fruits to Yahweh. You will offer for the meal gift of your first fruits green kernels of meal or grain dried by the fire, grain beaten out of full kernels. You will put oil on it and lay frankincense on it, for it's a meal gift. And the priest will burn the memorial serving of it to be made of beaten meal and of oil with all the frankincense of it, for it's a gift made by fire to Yahweh. So Sonia, you're saying that in chapter 2 the word grain is mentioned 14 times, or the word grain gift?
Grain offering, yeah.
Like, it has to have offering next to it, or just the word grain by itself, too?
All of mine say grain... Wait. Grain offering. They'll have offering after it.
So you're not including just grain by itself? Or offering by itself, you're just making...
Grain offering. Yeah, they all have offering
afterwards. No, what I'm saying is, like in my version, there's some that just say grain by itself,
right.
And then there's some that just say offering by himself.
14 times it says grain offering.
Okay, so together.
Together.
So you're not counting the ones that are by themselves, like when the offering is by itself, or grains by itself.
I don't see any that says offering by itself.
Yeah, so when anyone will offer a grain offering to Yahweh, his offering will be fine flour, right?
Oh yeah, if your offering is a grain, no. So all the grains that are highlighted, the 14 grains, have offering right after it, grain offering.
That's what I'm trying to say.
It says grain offering.
Mm-hmm. So you're not counting when it just says offering by itself.
Says grain offering.
Okay.
14 times.
Yeah. Well, I'll do my counting later on. I don't want to do it now. I don't want to waste too much time.
And then in your 3, it's the peace offering.
Okay. Maybe I'll count this one as I'm reading through it. We'll see. Alright, so chapter 2 is this all about the grain or the flour, right? So this whole entire chapter was about this. And I'm going to assume But this also has to do with financial status.
Yeah, affordability.
Yeah. Okay, that's a better word. Thank you, Vasa.
Good job, Iola.
That's always what I look at. It's like, can I afford this? Oh, yeah, I don't know. That ain't gonna work.
Right, so it's affordability compared to those over there. Okay. Okay, everyone good? Any questions on chapter 2? Any other comments on chapter 2? No? All right, let's go to chapter 3. So if his gift...
We're already on 3.
Well, 2 is like only 15, and then this one is like 16. But don't worry, because like a 32 is coming.
Oh, my, quick.
Yeah, these are small chapters.
Not 4. There's only...
So yeah, my...
35.
Yeah, mine only had 15 verses last one. This one has 17 verses.
And then 4:35.
So, if his gift is a gift of fellowship gifts, if he offers, so I guess that would be 1 so far for you. Mm-hmm. If he offers from the herd, whether it's male or female, he will offer it without blemish before Yahweh. He will lay his hand on the head of his gift and kill it at the door of the tent of meeting, and Aaron's sons, the priests, will sprinkle the blood all around upon the altar. And he will offer from the gift of the fellowship gift, so guess there'd be 2, a gift made by fire to Yahweh, fat that covers the innards and all the fat that's on the innards, the 2 kidneys, and the fat that's on them, which is by the flanks, and the lobe above the liver with the kidneys. He will take it away. Aaron's sons will burn it on the altar, on the ascension gift, which is on the wood, which is on the fire, a gift made by fire, a sweet savor to Yahweh. Okay, so now we're talking about your Bibles. I think Sonia said hers called it a peace.
Mm-hmm. Peace offering.
Yeah.
As well. Mine is as well.
So this is more of a fellowship. This is the party offering. Fellowship.
Is this where we share?
Party, yep. Gift.
Okay.
This is a gift. It's a fellowship party gift where you're going to invite the neighborhood. You're going to invite your friends, your family. You say, let's go to the house of the Lord. I got a fellowship. We want a fellowship. We want a party together.
So right? Does this include the Levites they get to as well?
Everybody, yep. Your mama, your best friend's mama.
Family,
call them all.
Priest.
Call them all. Okay. Notice no one's done anything wrong here. Doesn't say anyone's messed up. Nobody sinned. This is just somebody that wants to go. Somebody who says in their heart that they're better is one day in his courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I was glad and happy when they say, let us go to the house of the Lord. Right? Because in his presence is the fullness of joy. And at his right hands are pleasures forevermore. Right? So, verse 6 says, and if his gift, for a gift, a fellowship gifts, so that's 3 for Sonia, to Yahweh, is of the flock, a male or a female, he will offer it without blemish. If he offers a lamb for his gift, then he will offer it before Yahweh. He will lay his hand, and he will lay his hand upon the head of his gift. He'll kill it in front of the tent of meeting, and Aaron's sons will sprinkle its blood all around upon the altar. And he will offer The gift of the fellowship gifts, number four, an offering made by fire to Yahweh. It's a fat and a whole, it's fat and the whole rump. He will take it off. He will take it off hard by the backbone. And the fat that covers the innards and all the fat that's on the innards, two kidneys and the fat that's upon them, which is by the flanks, he will take away the lobe above the liver with the kidneys. And the priest will burn it upon the altar, the food of the gift made by fire to Yahweh. Okay, so this is the first one where he's talking about taking, removing the innards, right? Like the kidney, the liver. Okay, and this is on the fellowship gift. We'll find out what they're going to do with it. Any questions so far? No, verse 12. So his gift is a goat. If his gift is a goat, he will offer it before Yahweh. He will lay his hand upon its head, kill it in front of the tent of meeting. The sons of Aaron will sprinkle its blood upon the altar all around. He will bring from his gift a gift made by fire to Yahweh, the fat that covers the innards and all the fat that's upon the innards, the two kidneys, the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks. He will take away the lobe above the liver with the kidneys, and the priest will burn them upon the altar. It is food of a gift made by fire for a sweet savor. All the fat is Yahweh's. This will be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings, that you neither eat fat nor blood. I only counted four on that one in my version.
Mm-hmm. So 14 grain, 4 piece, and 11 sin.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying that this one had 7.
No, I was asking if there was a significance to many, because I personally wouldn't have highlighted them the way I did unless you pointed something out.
Yeah, I don't think I'd know.
Because otherwise they'd have probably been all the same color, but like the grain, I did one. Then peace, then sin. So somewhere about something, you pointed out something. And normally I'll put why.
And so no, I didn't have you should have did it here, because I'm even lost. I'm...
That's what I was asking you. Like, there going to be significance to this, because you pointed something out at some time. And I just wanted to make the notes as to what.
Yeah. So one thing that he did mention in this chapter was no fat, no blood. And that's going to continue to be a main theme, right? When you walk through the book of Leviticus, this blood, specifically this blood, this is going to be like the tree. This is going to be almost the same language as the tree of knowledge, right?
Right.
Of good and bad. Or good and... That's what this blood is going to start to resemble.
And why no fat?
Hmm?
Why no fat? I mean, other than it's disgusting.
The fat, typically, most of the time, he's going to talk about in the offerings. And there's different types of fats on an animal. Right? So, whenever we butcher our cow, or when we did our steer, is there's different types of fats on this thing. There's the fats that you'll typically see on your, like, your cuts of a T-bone steak, right? That's one type of a fat, and that's not what he's talking about. There's another fat that's on there that we make tallow and stuff out of, all right? Or that we put back into our ground beef to make it a little bit more fatty, because we can do that. Some people don't like their ground beef to be super dry and lean.
Yeah,
so sometimes you add it into your grinder and you put it into your hamburger, right? But then there's a fat that's really on the inside of this animal, and that's the fat that he's talking about.
The one that, around the organs?
Yeah, around the organs is what.
You see it a lot around the organs.
Yeah, we don't eat that one.
But what is the reason behind it? Like, why not?
It belongs to Yahweh. He wants it. He wants it to be burned. He wants it to be burned on his altar.
For us, right? It's not healthy for us.
Yeah, I don't know. But the house content, but yeah.
But the Lord liked it.
Yeah, he wants it burned, right? But one thing that he'll continue to hit is the blood, not just for the offerings, but he's going to hit blood even for ourselves outside of the offerings too. And that's going to be treated, the way he talks about that, it's going to become the new fruit that you're not supposed to eat from. The way he told Adam and Eve, hey, don't touch this, to the rest of your Bible, he's going to say, don't eat this. Do not consume this. Don't play around with this, because the life is in this. The life is in the blood.
But that should have already been from the first offering that they started up there with the herds, right, and the flock.
Oh, no, yeah, but see, yeah, but the, here's the thing is
except
he's not
to sprinkle on the altar.
But here's the thing is the author is not giving them anything new. They already know this. They already know what is pure and impure. Noah knew it. So Noah knew what the ascension gift was because that's what he gave. He knew this and pure and impure back in the book of Genesis, like in the seventh chapter. Right? So, the author is not giving us new information here. He's giving information they already know. So they already know about this stuff. He's just reiterating it, right? Because someone's not listening. Because the whole golden calf thing. So none of this, he's not giving everything 100% detail to them. Because this is stuff they should already know.
So right? We got it here in chapter 3 instead of one.
Correct. Is that making sense? So they should already know all this. So the order that he gives it to them is not necessarily for them a step-by-step procedure. He's just reminding them of the things they should already know. Right? Because their ancestors already did all this. Cool? Okay. So, chapter 4. Yeah. I used to struggle reading this book, but now this is my favorite book to read.
Oh, I know. I do too. I like it.
Okay. So chapter 4. So Yahweh spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel saying, if someone sins through ignorance
Here we go.
Against any of the commandments of Yahweh, things which ought not to be done, and will do against any of them, if the priest that is anointed sins, putting guilt for the sin on the people, let him bring for his sin, which he has sinned, a young bull without blemish, to Yahweh. Right? For a what? Anybody? What's the Hebrew?
Sin offering.
So yours says sin offering?
I might have said it before you even.
But it's an unintentional.
But it's unintentional.
Yeah, it started off unintentional, so it shouldn't be, I don't think, it should be sin. I don't know. But it is, but I don't know.
What's the Hebrew word there? For sin. Is the Hebrew word chatat?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
So it's not really sin offering. Now, did the guy sin? Yes. But is this called a sin offering? No.
It's
called a chatat. You raising your hand, Sarah, son?
No, that was my hand up in confusion.
Your hand? So you are raising your hand, yes.
No, it was not for a question. My hand was in the air, but I'm more questioning this and not you.
You're questioning your own Bible, not me?
Okay. So every place here in 4 where it says sin offering, you're saying it's not sin.
Hold on. So the person did sin, but the offering is not called a sin offering.
Unintentional.
The offering is called a purification gift. Does that make sense? Did the person sin? Yes. But is the offering called a sin offering? No, it's called a purification. It's called to purify you. Shaking your head.
Sure.
The reason I say that is because later on when you read, when a lady has a baby and your Bible is going to say she has to bring her sin offering.
It's a guilt offering.
No. She didn't do nothing. She's not guilty of anything.
Are you talking about chapter 5, verse 7, where it says, if he can't afford a lamb, he is to bring his... Oh, no. It says...
I'm in chapter 4.
A lamb, he's
I'm in chapter 4.
Guilt offering, but it says here, sin offering, not guilt offering.
Because I'm in chapter 4.
I know you're in 4, but you just said later on. You said later on.
And you didn't let me finish. So later on, when a woman has a baby, and she's supposed to bring her purification gift.
Which is sin, you're saying?
No. No.
So, okay. Right here it says sin. You just said it was purification, yes or no?
No. I said it's purification, not a purification gift. When it says the word, when your Bible says sin offering, it should be purification gift. Because the word for offering is korban, which is a gift. It's a lot of weenies you got there, dude. 1, 2 That's like 3.5 hot dogs. It is.
I'm killing one.
Okay. Okay. We're waiting on you. What are you?
No, you're good. I'm just going to leave it because it might be different next year.
No, nothing's different. It's always been a purification gift. Reason being is when a woman has a baby later on and your Bible says she has to bring her sin offering, what sin did she commit for having a baby? Is it a sin to have a baby? No.
It's a blessing.
No. So the proper word for the gift or the offering is a purification or a cleansing. Okay? Now, in this scenario here, did a person sin? Yes. But is the gift a sin offering? No, it's never a sin offering. It's a purification gift.
It's kind of like a mistake.
Mm-hmm. Because one thing you won't find is there's no offering or gift for intentional sin. Mm-hmm. Not in the New Testament, not in the Old Testament. Hebrews chapter 10 says there is no gift, there is no offering, there is no sacrifice for purposeful, intentional sin. Zero. You have to account for that. God will look past anything you did in ignorance, unintentionally, but anything you do purposely.
Premeditated, that's a big one. It's the same.
Old Testament and New Testament, it's the same. He's the same God. He says you have no sacrifice for the things you did on purpose.
And that's a wrong one.
Yeah, okay. So, what was I at before you raised your hand of confusion? I know it was in chapter 4, but did I even start reading yet?
Yes, we did.
Okay. So the word Miss Viola said was chatat.
Yes.
Right?
That's what the word says.
So this is purification. Gift. Okay. Oh, did you come closer to share one of those with me? No? All right. So verse 4. So he will bring the bull to the door of the tent of meeting before Yahweh. He will lay his hand upon the bull's head, and he will kill the bull before Yahweh. The priest that is anointed will take of the bull's blood, bring it to the tent of meeting, and the priest will dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle the blood 7 times before Yahweh, before the veil of the sanctuary. The priest will put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of the sweet incense, which is in the tent of meeting, before Yahweh, and will pour all the blood of the bull at the bottom of the altar of the ascension gift, which is at the door of the tent of meeting. He will take off from it all the fat of the bull for the purification gift, the fat that covers the innards and all the fat that's upon the innards, the two kidneys and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the lobe above the liver with the kidneys he will take away. And it was taken off from the bull of the gift of fellowship gifts, and the priest will burn them upon the altar of the ascension gift. The skin of the bull and all of its flesh with its head, with its legs, its innards and its dung, even the whole bull, will he carry forth outside the camp to a pure place, where the ashes are poured out, and burn it on the wood with fire. It will be burned where the ashes are poured out. Okay. Yes, ma'am. You gonna say something? So, this is the first time he talks about something about the skins of an animal.
Right? It goes outside of the camp.
Okay, so here, right, you have the purification gift. This is somebody sins unintentionally.
Right.
Okay, unintentionally. The funny thing that stands out to me here is the skin of the animal. Where else in your Bible did somebody sin and there were skins of an animal?
Garden of Eden.
You got it, Miss Linda. Yep, the garden, right, of Eden. Who got skins put on them?
Adam and Eve.
Yeah, so Adam and Eve had the skins on them. And did they get to remain inside the garden? No, with these skins, where did they have to go?
Exit stage left.
Yeah, they went outside, right? They had to go outside the garden. They got kicked out. And do these skins of this animal stay inside the courts, the courtyards? No, it's got to go outside, right?
Yep.
You got it. So, pretty interesting. This stuff's already in our Bible, but the author's barely kind of explaining it to us. Oh, did you get a little stuffed on that?
That's so nice sharing with you.
Thank you. I knew you weren't going to finish it. It was like 3.5 hot dogs after he already ate. Funny guy. I love you. I love you. When you come here, I'll go hold you. You want me to hold you? All right. Offer's still open for you. Okay. All right. So, I was where at on that one?
Didn't we finish on 8? Or we started on 8?
No, I think I finished 12.
Oh. Well, there you go.
Verse 13 now.
Well, you knew where you were at then.
She was testing you.
So, if the whole congregation of Israel sins through ignorance, and the thing is hidden from their eyes of the assembly, and they have done something against any of the commandments of Yahweh, things which should not be done, and they're guilty, when the sin which they have sinned against it is known, the congregation will offer a young bull for the sin, bring it before the tent of meeting, and the elders of the congregation will lay their hands upon the head of the bull before Yahweh, and the bull will be killed before Yahweh. The priest that is anointed will bring some of the bull's blood to the tent of meeting. The priest will dip his finger in the blood, sprinkle it 7 times before Yahweh in front of the veil. He will put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar, which is before Yahweh, that is in the tent of meeting, and will pour out all the blood at the bottom of the altar of the ascension gift, which is at the door of the tent of meeting. He will take all of its fat from it, burn it upon the altar. He will do with the bull as he did with the bull for the purification gift. So will he do with this, and the priest will make atonement for them, and it will be forgiven them. And he will carry the bull outside the camp, burn it as he burned the first bull. It is a purification gift for the congregation. Were you going to say something?
No, this is just for the entire people, all the people.
Yeah, so the first one was if who sinned?
Just the one person.
Yeah, this was actually for the priest, I think, right? So this first up here was this for the priest. Right, and then this was this for the entire congregation, right?
Oh, I thought it was for an individual.
Are you sure? I thought it was the entire congregation. Did I read that wrong? If the whole congregation...
This one is for the entire congregation, but the first one that you talked about...
Yeah, verse 3 says, if a priest that is anointed sins.
Oh, okay.
Verse 3. And then verse 13 is the whole congregation.
Okay.
Don't make me second guess myself, Miss Viola.
Oh my gosh. But the whole entire thing goes out.
Yeah.
In both of these, a priest and the entire congregation, right? They goes out of the camp.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this one was the entire congregation. And there's no choice of what they offer. It's always a bull. Okay? And this is all about unintentional sin. And they need to be purified, right? And they need to be purified for one purpose. Is so they can walk back into God's presence. The purification is to be back in God's presence. It's not to escape hell or anything like that. It's because to enter back into God's presence. That's where they want to be.
Which later they'll talk about this offering plus the other offerings to draw near.
Yeah, because you need to be purified, yeah. Number one, in order to approach.
And then approach.
Yep. And in order to approach, so A, you need to be in a state of purity, which is this offering. And B, you need to have a heart that wants to approach. You can't just be like, I want to be pure for the sake of being pure. The sake of you being pure is so you can approach, right?
Then you have the peace offering or the burnt offering coming up next.
Yep. So verse 22 says, when a leader has sinned, and done something through ignorance against any of the commandments of Yahweh, his Elohim, things which should not be done, and is guilty, or if his sin in which he has sinned comes to his knowledge, he will bring his gift, a kid of the goats, a male without blemish. He will lay his hand upon the hand of the goat and kill it in the place where they kill the ascension gift, before Yahweh. It's a purification gift. And the priest will take of the blood of the purification gift with his finger, put it upon the horns of the altar of the ascension gift, will pour out its blood at the bottom of the altar of the ascension gift. He will burn all of its fat upon the altar as the fat of a gift of peace or of fellowship gifts. And the priest will make atonement for him as concerning his sin, it will be forgiven him. So, now who is this for?
A leader.
Yeah, this is now for a leader.
Does that mean like, was, you know how some had, there was a person that was in charge of 50, another one 100?
Sure.
Is this that type of a leader?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, so this leader, and what does he have to bring?
We have a goat.
Yeah, so this guy gets a goat. The congregation had to bring a bull. The priest, if he sins, he has to bring a bull. And the leader has to bring a goat. And this is only for unintentional.
Right.
And very specific about that, right? Okay. So when the writer of Hebrews says there is no sacrifice, not even Yeshua's or Jesus' sacrifice for intentional sin. He's getting that from here, right? Okay, so verse 27. If any one of the common people sins through ignorance, while he does something against any of the commandments of Yahweh, a thing which ought not to be done, and is guilty, or if his sin, which he has sinned, comes to his knowledge, he will bring his gift, a kid of the goats, a female without blemish, for his sin which he has sinned. He will lay his hand on the head of the purification gift and slay the purification gift in the place of the ascension gift, and the priest will take of its blood with his finger, put it on the horns of the altar of the ascension gift, will pour out all of its blood at the bottom of the altar. He will take away all of its fat, as the fat is taken away from off of the gift of the fellowship gifts. And the priest will burn it upon the altar for a sweet savor to Yahweh. And the priest will make atonement for him, and it will be forgiven him. Okay, so who is this for?
A common person.
Common people, right? And what are they supposed to bring?
A goat.
A goat? Just a goat? How about a female goat?
That'll work.
Was it female?
Was it girls?
Sonia's shaking her head no?
Well, are you talking about in this one?
The common people.
It's a female without blemish.
Uh-oh.
Verse 28.
That makes a big difference.
Yeah, because she was probably the one that made the common person sin in the beginning, you know? Just play. Verse 32. So if he brings a lamb for a purification gift, he will bring a female without blemish. He will lay his hand on the head of the purification gift and slay it for a purification gift in the place where they will kill the ascension gift. The priest will take out the blood of the purification gift with his finger, put it on the horns of the altar of the ascension gift, will pour out all of its blood at the bottom of the altar. He will take away all of its fat, the fat of the lamb, which is taken away from the gift of the fellowship gifts, and the priest will burn them on the altar according to the gifts made by fire to Yahweh. And the priest will make atonement for his sin that he committed, and it will be forgiven him. Okay, so my question is this. Does anybody anywhere ever eat anything of the purification gift?
No, never.
No one's eating it?
Nobody's eating this. But this is also, it's talking about we change from a goat to a sheep. It's got to be a female sheep.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the same person. It's the common people. It could be either a goat or a sheep, right? Is that what they're saying?
So the first one says if he brings a lamb, it's got to be a female without blemish. Sorry, that's the second one. The first one was...
The first one was a lamb.
Let's see if he brings... Yeah, okay. So it's got to be a kid of the goats, a female kid of the goats, or it's got to be a female lamb.
Okay, so they got an option.
Yep,
okay.
They have an option there. Okay. But the interesting thing is none of this is eaten.
No. Because that's part an intentional sin.
So if there's a mess up, someone's messing up, this is not something that anyone eats. But if it's a party gift or something, that's when people come to eat, right? All right, so chapter 5. Or any questions on chapter 4 before we get to chapter 5? No? You guys are good? Y'all are a silent crowd today. Do I need to bring Julie and John in spirit here? Put them on phone or something for you?
Yeah.
All right, so chapter 5, home stretch.
Yeah, that went quick.
Because you guys ain't talking.
I thought
she just gave you...
all the details down. I mean, right? We were asking about every one of them. Weren't we, girls?
All right, chapter 5. So if someone sins and hears the voice of swearing and is a witness, whether he has seen or known it, if he does not utter it, he will bear his iniquity. Okay, so how is this one starting off?
an oath. Mine says, but you're saying swearing.
Oh, so if someone sins and hears the voice of an oath and is a witness?
Mm-hmm. Yep, an oath.
Okay.
Does that mean if you don't repeat it, you wipe the sin of the other people?
So what it's saying is if you hear someone make an oath, I will do this if this, 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 and that person doesn't fulfill their oath and you keep it silent, then you're guilty for not keeping them accountable for what they pledged to do. Okay. So someone's making a pledge, someone's swearing to do something, I swear I'll do this for you, and they don't do it. It says if you don't keep them accountable, you're just as much in trouble as they are.
I thought a swear was a bad word.
No, that's not what it's saying here.
This is an oath, right?
So swearing?
I vow to do this. In other words, like a vow, correct?
Yeah, so swearing is like, in their definition back then, to swear, I swear I'll do this for you, means I promise I'll do this, I pledge I'll do this, I'm making an oath to you. Yeah.
Okay.
So if you hear someone giving a pledge or an oath and they're not doing it and you keep your mouth quiet, you're bearing the inequity with them because you're not holding their feet to the fire of the promise that they've made. Okay?
So this is for the witness. It's not even for the person, huh?
For the witness, yeah. You witnessed it.
Wow.
You seen it or you know about it.
So you're guilty as the other one, the guy that's doing this.
That's how it starts off, right? So it starts off with an oath, right? You gotta be an oath keeper. You guys like broken promises? No? You ever had broken promises in your life? You remember those things?
No.
You don't remember any broken promises?
You kind of just don't worry about it.
I don't think everybody does. I'm pretty sure some people still remember some.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, so about verse 2. So if someone touches any impure thing, dear reader, what's impure?
Something that's unholy.
Oh, we don't know yet, right?
This just says
unclean. All we know is that Noah knew. Right? So the real translation should be impure.
And mine says contaminated?
Yours says contaminated, yeah.
Oh, the yeah. Carcass.
But it's unclean. So the real translation should be impure. Right? Because if you say clean or unclean, it has nothing to do with hygiene. This has nothing to do with hygiene. This has everything to do with purity. Purification of walking into God's presence, right? What Moses couldn't do yet. So if someone touches any impure thing, whether it's the carcass of an impure beast, the carcass of an impure cattle, the carcass of impure creeping things, and it's hidden from him, he will also be impure and guilty. Okay? Or if he touches the impureness of a person. Whatever impurity it is that a person will be defiled by, and it's hidden from him, when he knows of it, he'll be guilty. Or if a person swears or makes an oath, pronouncing with his lips to do bad or to do good, whatever it is that a man will pronounce with an oath, and it's hidden from him, when he knows, then he'll be guilty in one of these. And it will be when he will be guilty in one of these things that he will confess that he has sinned in that thing, and he will bring his asham gift, Hebrew word here is asham, which I believe yours has trespass.
Guilt offering.
Or guilt. His trespass I'm going to put trespass because most of you have this in your Our Father. Forgive us of our trespasses. You guys remember that? Because when I break an oath or a promise, who am I typically breaking an oath or a promise to? Typically, I'm breaking one to a person. Yeah. If I make a promise to you, right? Yeah. So that's the trespass. I've trespassed you.
Well, I think Randy had the trespass. Because I have all of them listed in, I think a trespass was in there.
Yeah, and most of the trespass is against people, right? Forgive me of my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me. Yeah, so this is basically we're wronging somebody by not keeping our commitments to them. Okay? So it says, verse 6, and he will bring his trespass gift to Yahweh for his sin which he has sinned. A female from the flock, a lamb or a kid of the goats for a purification gift, and the priest will make an atonement for him concerning his sin. If he's not able to bring a lamb, then he will bring for his sin which he has committed two turtle doves or two young pigeons to Yahweh. One for a purification gift, the other for an ascension gift. And he will bring them to the priest, who will offer that which is for the purification gift first. Wring off its head from its neck, but will not divide it asunder. And he will sprinkle the blood of the purification gift upon the side of the altar, and the rest of the blood will be wrung out at the bottom of the altar. It's a purification gift. And he will offer the second, an ascension gift, according to the manner, and the priest will make atonement for him for his sin which he has sinned, and it will be forgiven him. Okay? So if he can't bring a goat or a kid, what is he supposed to bring?
Turtle dove.
A turtle dove. Interesting, right?
He can't afford it.
Mm-hmm. And this last one's called like the Asham gift. In Hebrew, it's Asham, which means trespass. Right? To make right. Something to make right. I've wronged somebody, now I gotta make this right. I gotta reconcile the relationship. Okay? Any questions on that paragraph? Cool. All right, verse 11. But if he's not able to bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, then he that sinned will bring for his gift the tenth part of an ephah of fine flour for a purification gift. He will put no oil upon it, neither will he put frankincense on it, for it is a purification gift. He will bring it to the priest, and the priest will take his handful of it, a memorial of it, will burn it on the altar according to the gifts made by fire to Yahweh. It's a purification gift. The priest will make atonement for him as touching his sin, that he has sinned in one of these, it will be forgiven him. And the remnant will be the priest's as a meal gift. You guys catch that? If you can't bring two young pigeons,
yep.
Right. So first, what were you supposed to bring? What was the first?
Supposed to be a lamb or a sheep.
So first females. Was supposed to be a lamb female or a goat female.
Yes. No.
Or a kid female.
A lamb and or sheep. It didn't say about goat.
No. No. Are you sure?
You better go back.
Are you sure? Are you? You make me second guess myself again. A female of a lamb or a kid. Yep, that was the first one. Or a bird. Yeah, so I was right. So it's a lamb female or...
A kid is a goat.
Correct. Or a kid female.
Well, there you go.
Or if you can't bring those two, then you bring the...
Flower.
Nope.
Oh, the turtle dove and then the flower.
The turtle dove. And if you don't can't afford the turtle dove, you bring the flower.
Lina.
And the flower, this is always the fascinating part, but people have a hard time, is the flower has the power to forgive your sin.
1/10 of it you give to the priest.
And your sin will be forgiven. Is what your Bible says.
Yes.
So the trespass you did, you bring this gift, this korban, to the altar... to make things right with whoever you broke your promise or your oath with, or whoever you didn't keep accountable with. Okay, or if you touched something that was impure. Go ahead.
But when you do your flour, there's work involved. You have to grind that up.
Mm-hmm.
So the others, I mean, you got to take care of your animals.
You have to kill them.
But yeah, but you still, flour, there's some work in that as well as just,
not yeah.
just the animals.
But I think what I'm getting at is people are often taught that only blood could
mm-hmm.
forgive your sin.
And you know what? We never saw it till we come to the Torah. We never saw this.
Now, the blood is there to purify you, right? The blood is there to make you help you approach. But the blood is not for forgiveness of the sin. There's more to that than this. This right here, the flower, is for forgiveness of the sin. Can do that.
And that's, again, for affordability, right?
Affordability. You are correct. You got it. Because what if you can't afford a bull? What if you can't afford a goat? What if you can't afford a turtle dove? Well, then he says, bring some flour.
Which you have to work to
sure.
make that flour.
Sure. Okay. So, I am in verse 14 now. So Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, if someone acts unfaithfully, and they sin through ignorance in the holy things of Yahweh, which are the things pertaining to the tent of meeting, right, the tabernacle, he will bring, against the holy things of Yahweh, yeah, then he will bring for his guilt gift to Yahweh a ram without blemish from the flocks, with your estimation by shekels of silver, after the shekel of the sanctuary, for a, what does your version say? Dun, 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 dun.
Where were we at?
Me? You're not following along?
No, I was, Mom said, way up there, it started talking about treasury.
I'm in verse 14 and 15.
Yeah, and that's, it read different than yours.
Go ahead, read it. Read verse 14 and 15 in yours.
And, Yahweh spoke in Moses, saying, a person, he acts with treasury of sin, unintentionally, involving the holy tent of Yahweh,
okay.
he shall, his guilt offering,
a guilt offering.
To Yahweh, a ram that is unblemished from the flock, worth according to the valuation, in silver, 2 shekels, and according to the shekel of the sanctuary, for the guilt offering.
Okay, yeah, so this one is if someone is acting unfaithfully to Yahweh's stuff, his holy stuff in his tabernacle of the tent of meeting, whether it be the menorah, or the lamps, or the altar, if someone's doing something they shouldn't be doing to it. They're
so
not following...
the priests, right?
It could be, or a person. A person's going to come do their offering, and they accidentally... do incorrectly or something.
All intuitive.
So, yeah, so you're trespassing here against Yahweh now. So the first one was a trespass against a person. This one is now you're trespassing against one of the protocols that Yahweh has for his tabernacle. That makes sense? So now you're going to be bringing this trespass gift for Yahweh, and this one's a ram. It's got to be a ram without blemish from the flocks, right? So verse 16, so he will make amends for the harm that he has done to the holy thing and will add a fifth part to it and give it to the priest, and the priest will make atonement for him with the ram of the trespass gift, and it will be forgiven him. Okay, so you can trespass the holy things of Yahweh. You can accidentally use the cups or the utensils for something, and in order to make amends for yourself, you have to bring this trespass gift. And this one has to be a ram. There's no other affordability on this one if you mess with his holy things. Okay? So verse 17, should I write that on the board? Yeah, so this one will be, if I trespass against Yah of the holy things, so trespass
of the Lord.
I spelled that wrong. Trespass against holy things.
In the temple, I guess.
Well, that's really the place where the holy things have to be.
Okay.
Holy things, then I gotta bring a ram.
Yes.
To make amends. Okay. Alright, so now let's keep reading. See what the next one is about. Verse 17. If someone sins and commits any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of Yahweh, even though he does not know it, he is guilty and will bear his iniquity. He will bring a ram without blemish from the flock with your estimation for a trespass gift to the priest. Priest will make atonement for him concerning his ignorance, in which he erred and did not know. It will be forgiven him. It's a trespass gift. He's certainly guilty against Yahweh. So if someone does any of these things against the commandments of Yahweh, and it's finally brought to his attention that, hey, you're wronging Yahweh or his people, he will have to bring a ram without blemish. Okay.
20 starts a new chapter for some people.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Mine just finishes.
Oh, wait, yours finishes? You don't have a 20?
Yeah, I have 20. I go all the way to verse 26, and then that's the whole chapter.
For other people, it's 6-1.
Viola, where's your Bible stop?
It goes all the way to 26 as well.
Okay. But Miss Linda, does yours version go all the way to verse 26, or does it finish right there? Chapter 5. Alright, so I think we should all be good then. Okay, so this is all concerning unintentional sin. Everything we've read so far in chapter 5 is about people who have sinned unintentionally. We will never find a sacrifice for someone who does it purposely. Okay, verse 20. So Yahweh spoke to Moses saying, if someone sins and acts faithlessly against Yahweh, lies to his neighbor in that which he was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or has deceived his neighbor, or has found that which was lost and lies concerning it, and he swears falsely, right? He lied to him. In any of all of this that a man does, sinning by that, it will be, because he has sinned and is guilty, he will restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which is deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the lost thing that is found, or all that about which he has sworn falsely, he will even restore it in the principal, and will add a fifth part more to it, giving it to him to whom it pertains on the day of his trespass gift. He will bring his trespass gift to Yahweh, a ram without blemish from the flock, with your estimation for a trespass gift to the priest. And the priest will make atonement for him before Yahweh, and it will be forgiven him for anything of all that he has been guilty. Fascinating, right? So you have unintentional sin. You guys like people taking stuff from you? No? Do you want him to be forgiven? You do? So you have a person who is this unintentionally? If someone takes something violent away, is that unintentionally?
Yeah.
That's not, right?
Yeah, hold on.
So what were the scenarios that were given to us on this last one?
He has to add a fifth of the part of it and plus the ram of the value of it.
So when someone lies to his neighbor, is he doing that unintentionally?
Yeah, that's...
No, he's not, right?
That's intentionally.
So you have a liar, you have a thief, right? You have ill-gotten gain. What does he have to do different than everybody else?
He has to add a fifth of the value of it,
so he
plus
has,
a ram.
Yeah, so he has to give it back, mm-hmm. plus fifth part, plus he's got to give his gift, right?
Yeah, plus that ram.
Plus ram gift. So he has to give back what he stole, but plus a fifth part, plus give the ram gift. He can't just go give his ram gift at the altar and be forgiven. Before he can give his ram and be forgiven at the altar, he has to go and return what he stole, right? And then he has to give a fifth part on top, right? So he has to give 25% more on top. And then after that, then he's got to go give his ram. Then he can be forgiven. There is an instance in our New Testament where someone is just trying to go to the altar and give their ram. And Yeshua is like, hey, dude, God doesn't want your ram. Leave your gift at the altar. Go make amends with your brother first. And then bring your ram to the altar. Right? Go do that first part first. Because the second part is meaningless. You're not going to be forgiven unless you go make amends first. So, that's what you have here. And he gets that from Leviticus right here. Where he says, if you've done something to your brother, go make it right with your brother. Add a fifth part to it. And then you can bring your korban over here. You can bring your gift over here.
So, on this one, it's not life or death. It's just some thievery and a liar, mm-hmm. but he thought about it.
Uh-huh.
But there's still a chance for him to forgive.
For sure, yes.
Wow. But it, like, death, that's it. You're done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know they got second chances.
Oh, yeah.
I never thought of that.
On this one, they do, yeah. And he's a little handful of things that they've done.
He'll go and gain, like, took all your gold.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like Judas, almost, right here.
And you know what? He could have been forgiven, right?
For sure. I think he could have. Just like Peter.
I always think about that. But he didn't. He went and committed suicide.
Yeah. And there's a song the kids like. It's a song called Judas, where it's about how the guy's singing, and he says, you know, I'm probably worse than Judas, because people betrayed you, because Judas betrayed Yeshua for money, but I did it for free. Like, with my own life, I betrayed him for free. Like, no one paid me to do this. I was faithless for free, kind of a deal. You know? So, but yeah, there's absolutely, I think there was hope for Judas if he wouldn't have
like
killed himself.
Peter ran off.
Yeah.
He was really upset, but he came back.
He finally came
and
back,
I think
yeah.
that he would have had a chance as well if he would have come back.
I believe so.
And that's so sad.
It is. Yeah, that's the only difference is one thought that he could be forgiven, the other one thought that he couldn't. Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, but who knows what would have happened if Judas would have asked for that? We won't know now, right?
Yeah.
So.
That's so sad.
All right. Any other questions or comments on our Torah portion? Y'all good? Father, we thank you for our time together. Lord, we just ask that you would help us, Father, to have pure hearts and clean hands and righteous lips, that we would forever live in your presence. We would forever have the fullness of joy, and we forever get to experience the pleasures that are at your right hand forevermore. So, Father, we pray for your joy. We pray for your pleasures. We pray for your presence, Father. So help to make us pure and holy, Father, that we would always abide in your holy presence. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.